This is J.D. Doyle, and welcome to Out Radio. I've got two special interviews for you in this segment, with the second being with women's music icon Tret Fury. But first, well, I'll tell you about the first one. Back in May, I got a CD in the mail out of the blue from a new UK artist, Kay Anderson, and he enclosed a nice handwritten note. I mean, like, who remembers those? Here are his opening sentences. After many sleepless nights and uncertain days, I am super pleased to present you my debut album, The Overthinker, very fitting title. I guess my album documents my life in London, from the uncertainty of moving to a massive city, through to the abandonment of oneself, that my polite way of saying I was slutty. I hope that you can take something away from the stories and my observations. And I love this album. It's called The Overthinker, and that track, by the way, is Bulletproof Kids. I find the album fresh and charming and love the honesty and sense of humor. He goes by K, just the letter K. Anyway, I needed no encouragement to contact K for an interview, and I started by asking him to tell me about the new album.
The album came together after I first moved to London, and I came from Australia, and it was just such a change. It's just such a shift in my life, and having to start over again and reassess everything about myself and my relationships and the way I related to the world.
Okay, you said you're from Australia. What prompted you to move to England?
I'm not officially from Australia. I was born in Scotland, and my family emigrated to Australia when I was 8. So there'd always been in the back of my mind that I guess I'd never really felt like I belonged, which is obviously a common thing for young people to feel. But I kind of always had in the back of my head that if I moved back to the UK, I'd kind of find my place, my niche.
In one of your writings, I see that you describe your sound as lesbian music by a boy.
I am one of those people who struggle to describe things. And if I like a song, if I like a band, I'm not very good at explaining what it is like. And so obviously, when you're a musician and you tell people you're a musician, the first thing they do is say, so what do you sound like? And, you know, when I was growing up, that's basically all I listened to was music by women who like women. So it kind of just became the easiest thing to explain what I do to people.
So how would you describe your musical style?
I think it's very conversational, and I think that that's probably what sets it out the most from other singer-songwriters, is that, you know, as well as being observational, I cut to the chase quite a lot, and I'm quite frank about my feelings and about events that have happened, and I don't really hide it, kind of go straight for the jugular.
Why just the initial K?
Well, I'd love to tell you that there's a really fancy reason for it, and I'd like to be all mysterious, but there is another artist who has my name, and it was causing problems early on, so I made the executive decision to chop off everything but the K from my first name.
What is your first name?
It's Keith. So I'm not ashamed of being called Keith, which is what a lot of people suspect, because they think it's a very uncool name. I'm really quite proud of that name, but it was just that there's another artist called Keith Anderson who has a much bigger profile than me.
I know other artists that have run into that sort of thing. Tell me about the title of your album.
One of the things that I'm constantly being accused of is overthinking. And I think maybe that's changing as I'm getting older. That's certainly a theme of my early 20s, people saying that I am thinking too much about things and that I analyze things too much. And I think I just wanted to poke fun at that, that's people's perception of me. And I accept that title. I'm happy to be called the overthinker.
Let's get to the music. Tell me about the opening track, This Changes Everything.
This Changes Everything is a really interesting song for me because I wrote it really quickly, which isn't usually how I write songs. I usually take quite a while to decide what's happening in what parts and tweaking the lyrics and things. So it was about a friendship I had that when I first moved to London, I formed a friendship with someone who I didn't have a lot in common with. I had quite a lot of inner turmoil at the time because it was really difficult for me to not have a support network and not know anyone and just feel so isolated. And there was a shift, I guess, in our relationship where I was suddenly realizing who I had become and was feeling a lot more confident about my experiences and about going forward.
Buy a box of matches for the cigarettes you found in the back of your door. Reminds you of when you were younger. Holidays in Paris with the love of your life. Well, now he's gone. Well, now he is gone. And I always was so self-conscious around you, coordinating different pairs of shoes for each time we met. And I never knew, I never knew the pennies that you parted with and the wishing well were for you. Changes everything. And this, oh this, this changes everything, 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 everything. Finally got to the point where it's either split or grow strong. My mouth says grow strong, but my feet are already pounding the cobble pathway. And you call out to me, you say, surely this can't be it. And I'm the asshole who calls back, I'll be in touch. And you and me, we were always so different. Thought I could wear you down, or at least hide my own flaws. And we, oh we, got caught on such petty shit. I battled with myself, and you battled with this version of yourself. And this changes everything. And this, oh this changes everything, 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 everything. You don't know me anything. You don't know me anything. I see no point in this. I'm growing up, yeah, I'm giving in. I'm growing up, I'm growing up, I'm. Oh, this changes everything. And this, oh this changes everything, 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 everything. Everything, everything, everything.
Do you think there's an overall message to your music?
And I know a lot of musicians say this, so it's probably a bit of a cliche, but primarily I write songs for myself. And so when I'm sitting down to write something, I'm not really thinking about what I'm trying to convey. I'm just thinking about getting out what's in my brain. So overall, I would say that my songs are a reflection of my life. If there's anything that I want from people to take from that, is that to live as honestly as they can, and to assess the situations that are in front of them rather than ignoring them.
I have to preface this next question with the info that on Kay's album cover and on his site, there are many photos of him dressed up as a fox, the animal, the fox.
Do you have a fixation for fox costumes?
I do. The big thing, I mean, as I said before, the album is a lot about my experiences in London, which is a very different environment to where I was living prior to that, which is Melbourne, Australia. And the most exciting thing for me when I first moved to London was running into foxes in the middle of the night, because it's this kind of out-of-body experience where you're like, suddenly see them and you're like, ah, taken aback by it. And they see you, and there's this kind of a bit of a tango, a bit of a dance that you have with each other before they freak out and run away. And in that moment, it's just, I find that so magical and so exciting, kind of being a part of this animal's life. And, you know, foxes are notorious for living beside human beings but not really interacting. And so I find that moment really special. And I've kind of taken that theme and ran with it a bit.
And you wear a fox costume on the back of your album.
I do. When those photos were taken, it was the middle of winter, so it was quite cold. and that's the only memory I have really of it, is being like, hurry up and take the photo. Well, also, obviously, there was lots of people stopping me and asking me what I was doing. But other than that, yeah, it was the cold that I remember.
Did you tell them you were living next to people but not interacting?
I didn't really go into that detail. A lot of people actually thought I was a bear, so I was taking the time to point out that I was a fox. No, I was remaining coy about it.
Talk about the song Shrug.
Shrug came at the end of a very painful disentanglement of a relationship, I guess. It was something that I had been involved in, and it started off very casual and became something that I didn't necessarily want it to be. So by the time I'd recognized that, it was really difficult to admit, and it was a really painful experience because I guess I lost my best friend, and I was having my character assassinated at every turn. So at the end of that, you know, I did get to the point where I was just like, oh, you know what, I can't really do anything about this anymore. This is kind of happening, and it's going to happen, and I have to accept that. And that's kind of where the song came from.
Baby, baby, blue. Yeah. just shrug. I just shrug.
Did you have any hesitation about writing openly gay material?
You know, I didn't. It's been interesting what other people's take on this is. I, you know, as I said before, when I was growing up, I listened to very frank, very honest female singer-songwriters, and so it was never a question in my mind of what I would do when I was presenting myself. But I had a bit of an argument with my mum about this a few months ago, because she thought maybe my appeal would be a bit broader if I wasn't singing about men. And I kind of had to get on my high horse a bit about it, because how can I expect people to, how can I expect equal rights for LGBT people if I'm not prepared to stand up and say, I am an LGBT person and this is my experience of life? And I think that the tide is really turning, because I've had, you know, a number of meetings with industry people and stuff, and they've all said that I'm in a really unique position because there's not a lot of people who are doing what I'm doing, and that is because of my sexuality. And I can't, you know, I can't write a song about what's happening in my life and then hide this really massive aspect of who I am.
Tell me about the song Boy in Pearls.
As I said before, I get accused of being very serious a lot of the time, and I guess a lot of my songs do cover serious themes, because, you know, when I'm in a good mood, I'm off doing something exciting. So Boy in Pearls was my kind of attempt at being a bit cheeky and being a bit fun and showing that side of my personality, which is quite dominant in my personality. I'm not one of those really serious, po-faced singer-songwriters. I am, you know, up for a laugh and up for having fun, and that's kind of where that song came from.
But what's going on in the song?
But what's going on in that song? It's about a relationship with an older man and being a bit innocent and being confused by his overt sexuality, I guess.
Is it your story?
Yeah, I'm getting shy now. yeah, it's kind of an embellishment of my story, yes.
And what was your age in the story?
Oh, I was legal, don't worry. yeah, it's kind of, you know, when you first come out onto the scene and everything's really exciting, no matter who's showing you attention, you're like, yeah, okay, sure, I'll go for drinks, I'll do this. And there was an older man who, in hindsight, was really, really creepy. He kept buying me presents, and he kept showing up all the time wherever I was. And I kind of just accepted it at that age. Yeah, I don't think I would anymore.
His tattoo was older than I was, but I was so sure of myself. My little pink body and my best made clothes, all ready for a brand new year. And he knew my name already, like we'd met somewhere in the past. He sat so close with his eyes on me, my trembling knee in his grasp. There's nothing like so sure about this place, the day must be getting on. You show me your settee, unbuckled your buckle, and asked if I wanted a drink. Now I sit here sipping it slowly, assessing the room that we're in. Just because there are grass stains on my knees doesn't mean I belong on them. There's no holding hands, we could just sit here holding hands, we could just sit here holding hands and not tell anyone. We could
could just sit here holding hands. We could just sit here holding hands. We could just sit here and hold hands and not tell anyone. There's nothing like
about Wear Me Down, and I'm fascinated about the spoken word part, so mention that also.
Well, Wear Me Down is kind of, I was hanging out with a guy a lot, and I knew that he was interested in me romantically, and I wasn't really at first, but we were spending more time together, and I kind of thought, yeah, you know, I could get into this, I could go for this, no problem. But then I guess the overthinking comes in again, which is there's the spoken word bit in the song, which covers that element quite well, where I'm going, well, you know, I could get with you, but here are all the reasons why actually I probably shouldn't.
I never kissed him. He was too much of a gentleman for me. And this last week has had me thinking wholesome thoughts of you. Like in 5 years' time we could have our very little own house right by the seaside or in a bustling city center. Lately I've been thinking I might let you wear me down. Winter's unforgiving and I'm not sure I've got the strength to last another season solo. Plus if I had someone to shave my back for me, life would be peachy. And of course I have 101 excuses to share, like this age thing, the claws divide, and how I hate your dress sense, so we're just destined to go nowhere. And I know this is true because I chose it. Lately I've been thinking I might let you wear me down. Winter's unforgiving and I'm not sure I have the strength to last another season solo. Plus, if I had someone to shave my back for me, life would be peachy. Alright, stop, okay. Yeah. Now, how do I put this? I've had a bit of time to think about this, and, well, you know, I mean, you know I like you, don't you? Yeah, of course. Like, it's... Yeah, it's obvious, and the thing. Well, anyway, so there comes a point, right, where you gotta ask yourself, right, like, do I see a future with this person? Can I see myself picking out curtains and bed sheets and linen and crockery with this person? And you know, like, I'd probably go for something boring and plain, like grey or brown. I do like brown. And you'd probably go, you know, for something flowery and pretty and nice. I mean, I guess we could compromise and go for something like gingham or tartan or houndstooth even. I don't know. But that's the thing, right? At the end of the day, and when all is said and done, do my feelings for you, outweigh my feelings for gingham?
Let- Lately I've been thinking I might let you wear me down. Winter's unforgiving and I'm not sure I've got the strength to last another season solo. Plus if I had someone to shave my back for me, life would be peachy.
I saw a mention on your MySpace page of a EP called The Foxes.
Called Foxes, yeah. That came before the album, and that has some of the same songs that are on the album, but is it a bit of a different beast. The song that comes from The Foxes EP that everyone seems to really like that didn't actually make it to the album is I'm Done, I'm Done, I'm Done. I went to visit a friend in New York who I thought I was good friends with, but it turns out I kind of wasn't. And he allowed me to stay at his place, but he was never ever there and never had any time to see me whilst I was visiting. And the worst thing about the whole trip was that his boyfriend was celebrating his birthday whilst I was there, and they said to me, oh, well, you know, we're going out for dinner that night, so we won't be able to like to see you. I hope that's okay. And I was like, yeah, no problem. Like, I wouldn't want to kind of infringe on this kind of romantic dinner, so I don't have any issue with that. And then the next day I found out from his flatmate that actually there was this big birthday party that everyone had been invited to, and they just purposely lied to me about it. So I wouldn't go, which was really, really horrible thing. And I was still staying at his flat, and I just had so much anxiety, and I felt just really heavy and horrible. And I wrote the song kind of in the cab on the way to the airport and whilst on the plane, and it was just such a relief to kind of be out of there and to not wonder why people are acting in such a strange way.
I'm getting out of your city. I can't dance at the office with your friends. I hope that you don't notice me missing. The lines around my eyes are aching. You got over that skyscraper. You sailed down that river with your charm. I stayed at home filling pages, just wondering. And I'm done, I'm done, I'm done. Board a plane, seat assigned is number 30D. And I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. Nursing my dignity. I'm getting out of your city. I can't dance at the office with your friends. I hope that you don't notice me missing. The lines around my eyes are aching, and you got over that skyscraper. You sailed down that river with your charm, and I stayed at home filling pages, just wondering. And I'm done, I'm done, I'm done. Board a plane, seat assigned is number 30D. And I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. Nursing my dignity. My open heart is wondering how you will make this up to me. I miss Church Street, I miss London, I miss the person I was planning to be. My open heart is wondering how you will make this up to me. I miss Church Street, I miss London, I miss the person I was planning to be. I'm getting the fuck out of your city. I can't dance at the office with your friends. I hope that you don't notice me missing. The lines around my eyes are aching, and you got over that skyscraper. You sailed down that river with your charm, and I stayed at home filling pages, just wondering. And I'm done, I'm done, I'm done. board a plane, see the sign, there's number 30D. And I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone, missing my dignity.
That was the song I'm Done, I'm Done, I'm Done from the 2008 CD EP of Kay Anderson. And again, his new album is called The Overthinker. I am always ready for a new release from Trett Fury. I've been following her music for many years, and she's got a new one, and it's excellent. I expected no less. It's called The Horizon, and from it is Doggone Blues.
I roll over in the morning to stroke your curly hair, to touch your long, lean body even when I'm not sure you're there. Most times when I reach out, something ain't quite right. There's a warm, furry body curled up by your side. I got those doggone blues, 'cause those dogs ain't been should have been more clear. Instead of come sit by me, don't you dare come over here. 'Cause now when it's bedtime, they crawl under the sheets, and the only thing that's touching me are our poppy feet. I got those doggone blues, 'cause those dogs ain't been gone for some time. Snuggle up so tight, I'd wrap you in my arms and I would rock you through the night. But now it takes vacation to hold each other close, 'cause when I go to kiss you, I can see you wet puppy nose. I got those doggone blues, 'cause those dogs ain't been gone for some time.
The Horizon is my latest work. It's my 12th body of work, and I do think it's my best. I know I say that with every CD, but you always hope to improve and to create better and better work. This CD is rich with the joys and the struggles of my life. It is a continuation of my journey, and by far the deepest in that respect. I think there's something for everyone on this new CD, from blues to Latin to folk to eclectic, from family to heart to heartbreak. I'm told it's my best, and I really do think it is.
Well, I want to say, to me, this CD is a very comfortable recording. It's kind of like spending time with an old friend.
That's nice. Very nice.
Is there a overall message to you? To the CD?
No, you know, I never really feel there are messages in my, you know, in the overall bodies of work. It really is, my work is so personal, and anyone who follows my work knows that it is my life story, that I do write from my heart, and it just reflects where I am at each point of my life, and this has been a very interesting time in my life. It's been filled with a lot of joy and a lot of pain, and near loss of my brother, and reflecting on my age and death of family and friends, and all the things that we experience as we age. And you know, and I'm approaching 60, and I think there's a lot of depth in this CD that comes from my own experiences. So if there's any message, it's that we all age, and hopefully with dignity and grace.
Do you think this is your most reflective recording?
I do think it's my most reflective, and I took a little extra time. I mean, you know, I've been busy since 2000. This is my fifth body of work since 2000, and it took an extra year to really figure out what it was I had to say, and then just through the course of the events of my life, it's sort of unfolded. I didn't really think I was ready. I realized that I had these 12 songs and that they somehow told a story of where my life is right now, and I realized it was time to get in the studio.
Tell me about the song Horizon.
You know, the song Horizon has had several transformations from when I first wrote it, or not several, but a couple. And to me, when I wrote it, it was a song that discusses the difficulties of maintaining a relationship, and that it is always a struggle. You know, no relationship is easy, but if you continue to row that boat, as you continue to work through the hardships of a relationship and you keep your eye on the horizon, then your relationship will survive and become stronger. It's evolved some into a near loss experience of a relationship, but it still reflects, you know, how important it is not only to keep your eye on the horizon of the relationship that you're living, but also to keep your eye on the horizon of your own life. And I always say you cannot love someone else unless you love yourself. So it is really about always focusing and moving forward with your heart.
Say something I've never said before. I've loved you so much more than I ever thought I would. I need to tell you I'd never felt this way. Through the swing and the sway, I'd never felt this good. Maybe the hardship keeps it all afloat. As long as we can row, as long as we can row, and in your absence I can make it without fail. As long as I can sail, as long as I can see the horizon. Lately when I look at you, I'm looking through new eyes. I'm constantly surprised by the one that I see. I feel that magic that brought me to this place. When I first saw your face, first said you and me, maybe the hardship keeps it all afloat. As long as we can row, as long as we can row, and in your absence I can make it through each gale. As long as I can sail, as long as I can see the horizon. And promises all we keep, as long as your word is true. And long distance only works when there's no away from you. I set sail by the sun and moon and follow the brightest star, and that's where you always are. Storm, wrapped me in your warm, rolled me in your waves. Now I'm awakening, though I wish I never would. I'd stay here if I could, if our dreams could be saved. Maybe the hardship keeps it all afloat. As long as we can row, as long as we can row, and in your absence I can make it without fail. As long as I can sail, as long as I can see the horizon.
I got to hear you perform this next song before the CD came out, so I got to enjoy that, but I want to hear about Blackberry Blues.
Well, that is that's a perfect song for these times, and it's a song that every time I sing it, I look out in the audience and couples are poking each other. We have an obsession with phones and internet, which is not to say that's bad, because my God, I have a BlackBerry and I have Facebook and I have MySpace and I have all the things that make our lives what they are today. But I find that we don't communicate personally with each other anymore. We don't sit down and take the time to talk to each other, to look at each other, and to be with each other. And if we are with each other, we're doing something else at the same time. And my phone, my BlackBerry, just dinged me. Someone just texted me right in the middle of that. So it's perfect. But I just think we have too much of an obsession with the electronic world of communication and little time for each other. And that's really what the song is about, in a very tongue-in-cheek manner.
You're always on the phone, you never put it down, you won't leave it alone. And I wonder who you're talking to at 2 in the morning, 12 o'clock at night. And when I ask you, you ignore me, and you think that it's all right. And I say, why? You got Facebook on the brain, you're staring at the screen, and it's making me insane. And I don't know when you last talked to me, at 2 in the morning, 12 o'clock at night. And you don't look up to see me, and you think that it's all right. And I say, why? Don't you try. Yeah, the whole world has gone crazy. We don't meet face to face. We don't talk one-on-one. And we're never just in one place. Yeah, we're LinkedIn tagged and texted, MySpace, Facebook, tweeted, but it's never about you and me. We don't see eye to eye, we just have confrontations. And I wonder what we used to do at 2 in the morning, 12 o'clock at night, when no one else really mattered and everything seemed alright. And I say, why don't we try. Yeah, the whole world has gone crazy, we don't meet face to face. We don't talk one-on-one, and we're never just in one place. Yeah, we're LinkedIn tagged and texted, MySpace, Facebook, tweeted, but it's still about you and me.
That was Blackberry Blues, and here's another standout track, Grace of God.
like a bolt of white lightning. They come crashing into you, and 101 memories break across your heart. Your breath comes in fits and waves, and you're pulling apart. And the angels are all watching, they're counting the minutes. Your life becomes a circle game, you're out of it or in it. By the grace of God we come and go. By the grace of God we come and go. And you're sitting in Cortona with a hilltop. Your ancestors are whispering, they've got plans for you. And 101 questions race across your mind. You're caught between the then and now, fighting with time. And the angels are all waiting, they're counting your minutes. Your life becomes a circle game, you're out of it or in it. By the grace of God we come and go. By the grace of God we come and go. By the grace of God we come and go. And I'm standing on this earth, my feet firmly planted, with a promise to myself, I won't take things for granted. Like the love that I love, the light of my life, and my sight. In a cafe on the east side, coffee for two, you're waiting by the front door for your love to walk through. And 101 scenes play behind your eyes. Why she hasn't shown up yet, why she's not on time. And the angels are all watching to see how you would spin it if suddenly your world split wide and she wasn't in it. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, we come and go. By the grace of God, we come and go. By the grace of God, we come and go.
I got two older songs to ask about from True Compass. Tell me about Leap of Faith.
Oh, wow. You know, I wrote that, even though it's, you know, written in 2007, I guess. It was really, talks about a time in my life when I took a huge chance and had left, you know, left a 20-year relationship to start a new one. And that it always, you always should follow your heart, no matter how difficult it might be. When I left that relationship, I was 50. And I thought, my God, how do you start over at 50? Well, you can start over at any time in your life. It just has to happen. It just happens. But you always have to take that leap, and it is a leap of faith. You always have to, you know, throw yourself off that cliff. If it's going to make you stronger, if it's going to make you a better person, or just if it's the way you have to follow your heart, you must follow your heart, whatever you do. I'm a firm believer in that.
It was a long road. It was a long time. It was a long way around this stuck mind. It was a way that I was looking at the things I couldn't see. It was the way that you were looking at me. It was a late night. It was the late fall. It was a late hour to make a late call. Thank you.
And the next song I want to ask about is kind of personal to me. 3 years ago, my partner Jeff died in August 2007. And at the time, I wanted to find some special song to do a tribute for him. And I asked you if you knew of any. And you had one on your CD that was coming out in the near future. And you sent it to me. And it was Sail Away.
That's a song I wrote... I think in 1994, I believe, it was shortly after my mother passed away. It was a hard song for me to write. I wrote a lot when I lost my mother. I was very, very close to my mother, and it was probably one of the hardest, most difficult times of my life. And, you know, my mother and I used to talk on the phone daily. So, you know, the song reflects still reaching out to make that phone call and realizing that she was no longer here, and that at some point, you know, I would, however we pass, that there would be a reuniting somehow. But it was deeply moving piece that I really didn't record. I've done several versions of it, but I never put it on a CD until I finally did. And I have sung that at my partner's cousin died. I sang it at her funeral. I sang it at her aunt's funeral. And I sang it at my brother-in-law's mother's passing. I've had the opportunity to sing it at many memorials and funerals, and it does seem to touch a deep chord in people.
Well, several of Jeff's relatives, you know, heard that show, and they remember that song.
That's great. That's a tribute.
There's a longing in my heart to see you in the morning. There's a longing in my heart to rest my face against your cheek. But I guess I'll have to wait until that last gray dawning, when I take the mighty boat across the sea. Sail away! I can almost see you smiling. Sail away. I can almost hear you breathe. Sail away. I will reach out for your hand when I take the mighty boat across the sea. I'm staring at the phone, wishing I could call you, like I've done so many mornings in the years you've been with me. But the phone would go unanswered, and I would be left hanging till I take the mighty boat across the sea. Sail away, I can almost see you smiling. Sail away, I can almost hear you breathe. Sail away, I will reach out for your hand when I take the mighty boat across the sea. Sail away, I can almost see you smiling. Sail away, I can almost hear you breathe. Sail away, I will reach out for your hand when I take the mighty boat across the sea. When I take that mighty boat across the sea.